Chapter 8. A Place of Safety. While he was still coming through the door, Rand's eyes went to his father. His father, no matter what anyone said. Tamanup moved an inch. His eyes were still shut, and his breath came in labored gasps, low and rasping. The white-haired gleeman cut off a conversation with the mayor, who was bent over the bed again, tending Tam, and gave Moraine an uneasy look. The Aes Sedai ignored him. Indeed, she ignored everyone except for Tam. But at him, she stared with an intent frown. Tom stuck his unlit pipe between his teeth, then snatched it out again and glowered at it. "Man cannot even smoke in peace," he muttered. "I'd better make sure some farmer doesn't steal my cloak to keep his cow warm. At least I can have my pipe out there." He hurried out of the room. Lan stared after him, his angular face as expressionless as a rock. "I do not like that man. There is something about him I don't trust. I did not see a hair of him last night."
"He was there," Bran said, watching Moraine uncertainly. "He must have been. His cloak did not get singed in front of the fireplace."
Rand did not care if the gleeman had spent the night hiding in the stable.
"My father," he said to Moraine pleadingly.
Bran opened his mouth, but before he could speak, Moraine said,
"Leave me with him, Master Alvear. There is nothing you can do here now, except get in my way."
For a minute, Bran hesitated, torn between dislike of being ordered about in his own inn and reluctance to disobey an Aes Sedai. Finally, he straightened up to clap Rand on the shoulder.
"Come along, boy. Let us leave Moraine Sedai to her, There's plenty you can give me a hand with downstairs. Before you know it, Tam will be shouting for his pipe and a mug of ale."
"Can I stay?"
Bran spoke to Moraine, though she did not really seem to be aware of anyone besides Tam. Bran's hand tightened, but Rand ignored him.
"Please, I'll keep out of your way. You won't even know I am here. He's my father,"
he added with a fierceness that startled him and widened the mayor's eyes in surprise. Rand hoped the others put it down to tiredness or the strain of dealing with an Aes Sedai.
"Yes, yes," Moraine said impatiently.
She had tossed her cloak and staff carelessly across the only chair in the room, and now she pushed up the sleeves of her gown, baring her arms to her elbows. Her attention never really left Tam, even while she spoke.
"Sit over there. And you too, Lan."
She gestured vaguely in the direction of a long bench against the wall. Her eyes traveled slowly from Tam's feet to his head, but Rand had the prickly feeling that she was looking beyond him in some fashion.
"You may talk if you wish," she went on absently, "but do it quietly. Now you go, Master Alvear. This is a sick room, not a gathering hall. See that I am not disturbed."
The mayor grumbled under his breath, though not loudly enough to catch her attention, of course, squeezed Rand's shoulder again, then obediently, if reluctantly, closed the door behind him. Muttering to herself, the Aes Sedai knelt beside the bed and rested her hands lightly on Tam's chest. She closed her eyes, and for a long time she neither moved nor made a sound. In the stories, Aes Sedai wonders were always accompanied by flashes and thunderclaps or other signs to indicate mighty works and great powers. The power, the one power, drawn from the true source that drove the wheel of time. That was not something Rand wanted to think about, the power involved with Tam, himself in the same room where the power might be used. In the same village was bad enough. For all he could tell, though, Moraine might just as well have gone to sleep. But he thought Tam's breathing sounded easier. She must be doing something. So intent was he that he jumped when Lan spoke softly.
"That is a fine weapon you wear. Is there by chance a heron on the blade as well?"
For a moment, Rand stared at the warder, not grasping what it was he was talking about. He had completely forgotten Tam's sword in the lather of dealing with an Aes Sedai. It did not seem so heavy anymore.
"Yes, there is. What is she doing?"
"I'd not have thought to find a heron-marked sword in a place like this," Lan said.
"It belongs to my father."
He glanced at Lan's sword, the hilt just visible at the edge of his cloak. The two swords did look a good deal alike, except that no herons showed on the warders. He swung his eyes back to the bed. Tam's breathing did sound easier. The rasp was gone. He was sure of it.
"He bought it a long time ago."
"Strange thing for a sheepherder to buy."
Rand spared a sidelong look for Lan. For a stranger to wonder about the sword was prying. For a warder to do it,
Still, he felt he had to say something. He never had any use for it that I know of. He said it had no use. Until last night, anyway. I didn't even know he had it till then.
He called it useless, did he? He must not always have thought so.
Lan touched the scabbard at Rand's waist briefly with one finger.
There are places where the heron is a symbol of the master swordsman. That blade must have traveled a strange road to end up with a sheep herder in the Two Rivers.
Rand ignored the unspoken question. Moraine still had not moved. Was the Aes Sedai doing anything?
He shivered and rubbed his arms, not sure he really wanted to know what she was doing. An Aes Sedai.
A question of his own popped into his head then, one he did not want to ask, one he needed an answer to.
The mayor.
He cleared his throat and took a deep breath.
The mayor said the only reason there's anything left of the village is because of you and her.
He made himself look at the warder.
If you had been told about a man in the woods, a man who made people afraid just by looking at them, would that have warned you? A man whose horse doesn't make any noise, and the wind doesn't touch his cloak? Would you have known what was going to happen? Could you and Moraine Sedai have stopped it if you'd known about him?
Not without half a dozen of my sisters, Moraine said, and Rand started. She still knelt by the bed, but she had taken her hands from Tam and half turned to face the two of them on the bench. Her voice never raised, but her eyes pinned Rand to the wall.
Had I known when I left Tar Valon that I would find Trollocs and Murdral here, I would have brought half a dozen of them, a dozen, if I had to drag them by the scruffs of their necks. By myself, a month's warning would have made little difference. Perhaps none. There is only so much one person can do, even calling on the One Power. And there were probably well over 100 Trollocs scattered around this district last night. An entire fist.
It would still have been good to know, Lan said sharply, the sharpness directed at Rand. When did you see him, exactly, and where?
That's of no consequence now, Moraine said. I will not have the boy thinking he is to blame for something when he is not.
I am as much to blame.
That accursed raven yesterday, the way it behaved, should have warned me.
And you too, my old friend, her tongue clicked angrily.
I was overconfident to the point of arrogance, sure that the Dark One's touch could not have spread so far, nor so heavily, not yet.
So sure.
Rand blinked.
The raven? I don't understand.
Carrion eaters, Lan's mouth twisted in distaste. The Dark One's minions often find spies among creatures that feed on death. Ravens and crows, mainly. Rats in the cities, sometimes.
A quick shiver ran through Rand. Ravens and crows as spies of the Dark One? There were ravens and crows everywhere now.
The Dark One's touch, Moraine had said. The Dark One was always there, he knew that. But if you tried to walk in the light, tried to live a good life, and did not name him, he could not harm you.
That was what everybody believed, what everybody learned with his mother's milk.
But Moraine seemed to be saying...
His glance fell on Tam, and everything else was pushed right out of his head. His father's face was noticeably less flushed than it had been, and his breathing sounded almost normal. Rand would have leaped up if Lan had not caught his arm.
You've done it!
Moraine shook her head and sighed.
Not yet. I hope it is only not yet. Trolloc weapons are made at forges in the valley called Thakandar, on the very slopes of Shale Ghul itself. Some of them take a taint from that place, a stain of evil in the metal. Those tainted blades make wounds that will not heal unaided, or cause deadly fevers, strange sicknesses that medicines cannot touch. I have soothed your father's pain, but the mark, the taint, is still in him. Left alone, it will grow again and consume him.
But you won't leave it alone.
Rand's words were half plea, half command. He was shocked to realize he had spoken to an Aes Sedai like that, but she seemed not to notice his tone.
I will not, she agreed simply. I am very tired, Rand, and I have had no chance to rest since last night. Ordinarily, it would not matter, but for this kind of hurt. This, she took a small bundle of white silk from her pouch, is an Angrial.
She saw his expression.
You know of Angrial, then?
Good. Unconsciously, he leaned back further away from her and what she held. A few stories mentioned Angrial, those relics of the Age of Legends that Aes Sedai used to perform their greatest wonders. He was startled to see her unwrap a smooth, ivory figurine, age-darkened to deep brown. No longer than her hand, it was a woman in flowing robes, with long hair falling about her shoulders. "We have lost the making of these," she said. "So much is lost, perhaps never to be found again. So few remain, the Amerlin seat almost did not allow me to take this one. It is well for Emmons Field and for your father that she did give her permission. But you must not hope too much. Now, even with it, I can do little more than I could have without it yesterday. And the taint is strong. It has had time to fester."
"You can help him," Rand said fervently. "I know you can."
Moraine smiled, a bare curving of her lips.
"We shall see."
Then she turned back to Tam. One hand she laid on his forehead. The other cupped the ivory figure. Eyes closed, her face took on a look of concentration. She scarcely seemed to breathe.
"That rider you spoke of," Lance said quietly, "the one who made you afraid. That was surely a Murdral."
"A Murdral?" Rand exclaimed. "But Fades are 20 feet tall and..."
The words faded away under the warder's mirthless grin.
"Sometimes, sheepherder, stories make things larger than truth. Believe me, the truth is big enough with a half-man. Half-man, lurk, fade, shadow-man, the name depends on the land you're in, but they all mean Murdral. Fades are Trolloc spawn, throwbacks almost to the human stock the Dreadlords used to make the Trollocs. Almost. But if the human strain is made stronger, so is the taint that twists the Trollocs. Half-men have powers of a kind, the sort that stem from the Dark One. Only the weakest Aes Sedai would fail to be a match for a Fade, one against one. But many a good man and true has fallen to them. Since the wars that ended the Age of Legends, since the Forsaken were bound, they have been the brain that tells the Trolloc fists where to strike. In the days of the Trolloc Wars, half-men led the Trollocs in battle, under the Dreadlords."
"He scared me," Rand said faintly. "He just looked at me and..."
He shivered.
"No need for shame, sheepherder. They scare me, too. I've seen men who have been soldiers all their lives freeze like a bird facing a snake when they confronted a half-man. In the north, in the borderlands along the Great Blight, there is a saying. The look of the eyeless is fear."
"The eyeless?" Rand said, and Lan nodded.
"Murdral see like eagles in darkness or in light, but they have no eyes. I can think of few things more dangerous than facing a Murdral. Moraine Sedai and I both tried to kill the one that was here last night, and we failed every time. Half-men have the Dark One's own luck."
Rand swallowed.
"A Trolloc said the Murdral wanted to talk to me. I didn't know what it meant."
Lan's head jerked up. His eyes were blue stones.
"You talked to a Trolloc?"
"Not exactly," Rand stammered.
The warder's gaze held him like a trap.
"It talked to me. It said it wouldn't hurt me, that the Murdral wanted to talk to me. Then it tried to kill me."
He licked his lips and rubbed his hand along the knobby leather of the sword hilt. In short, choppy sentences, he explained about returning to the farmhouse.
"I killed it instead," he finished. "By accident, really. It jumped at me, and I had the sword in my hand."
Lan's face softened slightly, if rock could be said to soften.
"Even so, that is something to speak of, sheepherder. Until last night, there were few men south of the borderlands who could say they had seen a Trolloc, much less killed one."
"And fewer still who have slain a Trolloc alone and unaided," Moraine said wearily. "It is done, Rand. Lan, help me up."
The warder sprang to her side, but he was no quicker than Rand darting to the bed. Tam's skin was cool to the touch, though his face had a pale, washed-out look, as if he had spent far too long out of the sun. His eyes were still closed, but he drew the deep breaths of normal sleep.
"He will be all right now?" Rand asked anxiously.
"With rest, yes," Moraine said.
A few weeks in bed, and he will be as good as ever.
She walked unsteadily, despite holding Lan's arm. He swept her cloak and staff from the chair cushion for her to sit, and she eased herself down with a sigh. With a slow care, she rewrapped the Angrial and returned it to her pouch. Rand's shoulders shook. He bit his lip to keep from laughing. At the same time, he had to scrub a hand across his eyes to clear away tears.
Thank you. In the age of legends, Moraine went on, some Aes Sedai could fan life and health to flame if only the smallest spark remained. Those days are gone, though, perhaps forever. So much was lost. Not just the making of Angrial. So much that could be done which we dare not even dream of, if we remember it at all. There are far fewer of us now. Some talents are all but gone, and many that remain seem weaker. Now there must be both will and strength for the body to draw on, and even the strongest of us can do nothing in the way of healing. It is fortunate that your father is a strong man, both in body and spirit. As it is, he used up much of his strength in the fight for life. But all that is left now is for him to recuperate. That will take time, but the taint is gone. I can never repay you, he told her without taking his eyes from Tam. But anything I can do for you, I will. Anything at all.
He remembered the talk of prices then, and his promise. Kneeling beside Tam, he meant it even more than before, but it still was not easy to look at her.
Anything. As long as it does not hurt the village or my friends.
Moraine raised a hand dismissively.
If you think it is necessary. I would like to talk with you anyway.
You will no doubt leave at the same time we do, and we can speak at length then.
Leave?
He exclaimed, scrambling to his feet.
Is it really that bad? Everyone looked to me as if they were ready to start rebuilding. We are pretty settled folk in the Two Rivers. Nobody ever leaves.
Rand.
And where would we go? Padan Fane said the weather is just as bad everywhere else. He was the peddler. The Trollocs.
Rand swallowed, wishing Tom Marilyn had not told him what Trollocs ate.
The best I can see to do is stay right here where we belong, in the Two Rivers, and put things back together. We have crops in the ground, and it has to warm enough for the shearing soon. I don't know who started this talk about leaving. One of the Complins, I'll bet. But whoever it was...
Sheepherder, Lan broke in. You talk when you should be listening.
He blinked at both of them. He had been half-babbling, he realized, and he had rambled on while she tried to talk. While an Aes Sedai tried to talk. He wondered what to say, how to apologize, but Moraine smiled while he was still thinking.
I understand how you feel, Rand, she said,
and he had the uncomfortable feeling that she really did.
Think no more of it.
Her mouth tightened, and she shook her head.
I have handled this badly, I see. I should have rested first, I suppose. It is you who will be